Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about the energy of astrology, human design, gene keys, Pleiadian earth energy of the day. In fact, we have a couple of interesting things happening for us today, and two of them are kind of irritants, let's say. But overall, today I think looks to be a really good day, especially if you tune in to what is it that you need to do to keep yourself on track. Like, for example, let's say last month or earlier in the month when we had the new moon, you set some goals or you set an intention. Today becomes the first day where we have a chance to evaluate or reevaluate the goals or the steps that we need to take in order to get where we want to go. So today that can also bring up some feelings around that. And so we'll want to be aware of all of the different things that can be going on around goals and feeling like you've achieved something or not. So let's break down the day. Let's say good morning to Patricia and Mimi. It's nice to see you ladies out there this morning. It is kind of an interesting day because there's such a juxtaposition, I guess you could say, between the energies. On one hand, we have, some really positive breakthrough moments possible. And on the other hand, we have, the possibility of feeling down and low about things and where they stand and where we're headed. So I want to show you how to get through that minefield today in order to stay sort of at least at the medium level, kind of keeping yourself in the neutral frequencies today, rather than getting yourself all hyped up or getting yourself all down and low. So let's break that down and see where we are. First of all, today we have the moon in Libra. When the moon is Libra, we're in Libra, we're trying to balance and harmonize our relationships, our values, our money, the things that we have going on in our outer lives versus the things we have going on in our inner lives. And so balance and harmony are what we are seeking. However, today's likely not going to be that day. Today, we're likely going to have some things exposed to us. And I don't mean someone with their clothes off exposing them to you, but things that you have been thinking about, maybe aha moments that are, just simmering below the surface, coming up for you to look at today and to be able to change tracks if necessary, add to a goal or delete something from a goal in order to move forward. While the moon is in Libra, of course, it is one of our cardinal signs, and that means it is affecting anything in Aries, it is affecting anything in Cancer, where we already have planets, and affecting things that are going on in Capricorn. In fact, it is squaring today the sun, Saturn, and Pluto. The moon is squaring that. So our emotions, our feelings, our inner world is up against the sun and Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. So, or Saturn in, excuse me, the sun in Cancer and Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. So we have what you could describe as a T-square moving through the chart. Let me see if I can show you that visually. I can. So let's hold on here and I will actually draw the lines to be able to illustrate that for you. I just got to pick the right ones because I chose this morning the chart with all the lines on it. And sun to moon. And there's the opposing. And then there's the other square. Okay, so I'm going to show you the chart for today, which of course I've written all over. I always like to do that in the mornings. So here we have what is a T square. So here's the green, right? The moon is where the point is at, and it is squaring the sun over here in Cancer, and it is also squaring the Saturn South Node over here in Capricorn. And that means that the sun and the North Node are in an opposition to Saturn and the South Node. So it looks very complex. A T square is highly energetic. It gives us the necessary energy or the necessary resistance energy to make change, right? To move forward or to scrap something and start over. And so the energy of the day today is really about taking us into a reality check, if you will, reality check about where you are, about where you're going, about what stays, about what goes, and how are you going to manage all of that, including, right, the moon and the sun in a square takes us to that first quarter moon, the crisis of action, where there's obstacles that are maybe in the way to getting where you want to go. If you set intentions last week with the new moon, you're suddenly now meeting up with the point that says, wait a minute, I can't get there from here. I'm going to have to forge a new pathway, or I'm going to have to build a bridge up and over that obstacle so I can keep moving forward. But meeting up with those obstacles isn't about you quitting on yourself or stopping what you're doing. It's about reevaluating. Now, how do I get around this obstacle? What is this obstacle showing me about this project or about this opportunity or about this relationship or about this job, etc.? So it's not about quitting on yourself today at all. If you experience obstacles, it's about, okay, maybe there was a flaw in my plan, and how do I reevaluate that plan now based on this new information, right? Or based on the fact this is an obstacle. Don't give up, just figure out a way to go around it. Be like water today. Be like water, which always figures out a way around an obstacle, right? Having witnessed many storms in my lifetime, watching water move, you could put a big boulder in its pathway and it finds a way to get around it. So be like water today. If you come up against obstacles or blocks or limits, find a way around it. Don't succumb to giving up on yourself, because this is not the day to give up. This is a day to find a new way. And in fact, that new way may indeed be all around rearranging your life to be in the flow with your north node or your destiny. Remember, the nodes right now are driving the eclipses. We're in the middle now between the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse of next week, which is highly energetic and a little bit worrisome in terms of the outer world, things blowing up or, chaotic and that kind of thing. But right now, for you personally, what is the chaos showing you, or what is the block showing you, and how do you merge yourself or re-emerge, let's say, on the other side of that block or on the other side of that obstacle, right? What are those obstacles? Why are they there? That would be another good question. Why is this showing up here? Why now? And what do I need to do about it? What is it showing me about me? And it may simply be there to show you how easily you give up on yourself, or you give up on your goals, or you give up on your dreams. So today is definitely not a day to do that. It is a day to really get clear about what is showing up, why it's showing up, and what do I do about it. Okay. Now the sun's or the moon's square to Saturn and Pluto add the emotional component to this day. And some of if you're feeling You may be feeling, and maybe not at this moment, but maybe later in the day, you're feeling doubt, or you're feeling pessimistic as opposed to the Jupiter feeling of optimism. This would be a more Saturn feeling of being more pessimistic. You might feel a lack of confidence today, or you might be fearful of the future, or you may feel blocked or let down in some way by life or by your work or by the people around you. These are feelings, and feelings pass, right? We know that the emotional energy flows in waves, and they're up and they're down. This is maybe a more down feeling day, but it doesn't have to be you feeling depressed or sad. It could be just you going within and checking back in with yourself and saying, okay, what is this telling me? What do I need to, how do I need to redirect my energy for the day? And it may be simply that you need to stop working on whatever it is you're working on and step back from it, become the observer of it, and see what it is that you need to do to make things work easier. Maybe you just need that objectivity for the day and not necessarily get your hands in there and try to mess with things. Step back, right? But today, with the sun opposing Saturn, which it does every year at about this, well, right now at about this time, because Saturn is in Capricorn. We have an opportunity to reevaluate our goals. And remember, Mercury's retrograde as well. So it seems like there's a and the crisis of action. We're looking at obstacles. We're looking at how do I redirect my energy so that I'm in alignment with my North Node? The Sun and the North Node are in a conjunction. A lot of light being placed right now, shining down brightly on your purpose, on your destiny, on your life path. And how do I connect with that? And how do I move toward that? And Saturn is conjunct the South Node. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think, and we've talked about it over the last several weeks, where these two coming together sort of shakes up our paradigm, and it exposes things, right? It exposes the ugliness, the dirtiness, the unsustainability of something, or the secrets exposed. We've had that this week, right? With the Epstein thing going on in the news here in this country, anyway. And I think it affects other countries as well, as he was purportedly bringing in girls from other countries to satisfy his sexual needs, and crazy, crazy stuff out there, but all coming up to the surface. Saturn opposing Saturn. I mean, the Sun opposing Saturn brings up those places where you have not been in alignment with truth, with integrity, or with your stated goals or objectives. So, or the underside, or the seedier side of things coming up, bubbling up. I fully expect, even as we get later in the day today and into tomorrow, where the moon squares Pluto, the Lord of the underworld, that there may even be more ick coming up. Now, those things are driving your feelings, but not necessarily the truth of who you are or of what's going on in your world. So try to understand that it's a feeling, that it isn't necessarily the truth of who you are. It may be the truth that it's exposing something to you, showing you something that you need to use the energy for in a different way. But the truth is, it's an opportunity today to reevaluate your goals, to decide, what are those restrictions showing me? Did I get off course, right? Am I straying from my North Star? And if I am, then the universe is being your friend here in throwing up those blocks, or throwing up those stop signs, or those yield signs. The universe is being your friend. So it's helping you to not go the whole course in the wrong direction. So think of it that way, because you're being challenged right now to grow and expand sustainably as a good steward of your time, your money, your resources, the people in your life, and moving in a direction, right, that is correct for you. Your direction would be different from my direction, would be different from your kids' directions, perhaps. Everybody has a unique path. And we're challenged to grow and evolve toward that path. And today you may just have little exposures of where it is that you are not in alignment with that. So I hope that helps. Let's see what people are saying out there. Good morning, Sarah. Just when the light is on everything, and I feel like I've made it so far, this new energy is bringing more to the surface. It just feels like a temporary, challenging feeling. Exactly right. It is temporary. Temporary, as the moon moves quickly. And it's the moon triggering a lot of this today. Even though the Sun and Saturn are triggering the bigger energies behind, right? Am I on path? Am I in alignment with my destiny? Did I stray so far off course that I've, in trouble of falling off the edge? But it is the moon that triggers the feelings, right? The fear feelings, the lack of confidence, etc. And that will pass. In fact, the moon today at 12:35 p.m. my time, so 1:23:35 East Coast time, goes into void of course. And it's that way until 2:29 a.m. tomorrow morning my time, 5:29 for you all on the East Coast. So what we're feeling is kind of hyper dominating the early part of the day. And the latter part of the day, we're kind of left with the moon squaring Pluto. So that's kind of a heavier feeling, but it does give us the energy for transforming. So most of the more desperate feelings happen early and then move through. And later in the day, what you're left with is the potential then for transforming your life, transforming all of the places that you've been that are putting you in the wrong direction, and the ability then to connect with the right direction. I hope that helps. Benita, good morning. A secret was exposed to me yesterday. Woo-hoo! Right in keeping with all this energy. Sarah, you're right. I've been feeling all the things you're talking about. I was this way last night. I felt super critical these last couple of days, the rabbit hole I'm trying to get out of. So, make peace with the rabbit hole, right? Make peace with that hole. And there's this syndrome that I hear about frequently. I want to say his name is Jeffrey Wolf. He's an astrologer, and he talks about Pluto sometimes in the second house. And I'm not sure where your Pluto is, Sarah, but he talks about it as being the frog in the well syndrome, where the frog from the bottom of the well can only look up and see a portion of the sky. And so he would be really tempted to view the world in just what he can see. And from the rabbit hole, then what you can see is also just a part of the sky, right? Or a part of the world around you. Because the nature of the whole is that you have sides, right? There's an opening maybe at one end, an opening maybe at another end, or maybe there isn't even. But the nature of it is that you're only seeing a part of something. So ask the hole, talk to the rabbit hole, maybe not out loud where people can hear you and think you're insane, but talk to the rabbit hole. What is it showing you? How is it showing up in a good way for you? How is it positively affecting your life? How is it being your friend as opposed to what you're perceiving it as a bad thing, as being stuck or what have you? Ask it, how is it serving you? Right? Ask it that. Or ask yourself this, what is this? How is this serving me right now? And it's worth it just to find out maybe what you can discover about yourself and that situation. And some people are saying blocked for sure. Yes. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel. Good morning, Londa. She says, great message. What's the energies between the two eclipses? What's being asked from us? Yeah, there's, I keep hearing this word, and I've used it myself even recently, and that's wormhole. The wormhole. What is the? And I've been watching this series on Amazon about the Bermuda Triangle, which just creates wormholes, right? There's many theories around the Bermuda Triangle, and one is that a wormhole in time is created, where people move between the past and the present, or the present and the future, or the past and the future. It's all very interesting, to think about. And there, the eclipses actually form a sort of a wormhole. On one end, this time the solar eclipse coming first and shining the very bright light on, or maybe even, let's see, solar eclipse dimming the light so you could see better and intuit better what it is that's meant for you personally, versus the lunar eclipse, which then blocks the moon, and the identity has the moment to shine. And how what connects them is this pathway now through Cancer, and also affecting Capricorn energy and Aries energy and Libra energy in our charts. And what is it we need to do to sustain ourselves to move forward into the next new thing? In fact, the next one, the lunar eclipse, is at a full moon. And it's about completion, or it is about revelation often, right? The full moon is the light of the sun behind the moon, or opposing the moon, if you will. And it's reflecting something to us. What is it reflecting to us? And then the dim light comes across with the eclipse and allows the sun to really shine the brighter at that point in time. So, what is it that the sun is shining its light on for you? Right? Where is that in your chart? And it's in Cancer. We know that. And it's going to be at 24 degrees, opposing Cancer 24 degrees and Capricorn 24 degrees. So that's the next step here is where is that line in my chart? And what is it showing me? What do I need to nurture more at the Cancer end while releasing more at the Capricorn end? Where do I have to build more of a solid foundation at the Capricorn end in order to sustain the nurturing needed to move in the new direction? So it's really, big scale kind of things, big changes in the outer world, but also within your own personal life, right? You're being asked to do these same things. Let go on one side to move more toward what's nurturing and what is more in alignment with you, and building a strong foundation to support that. And while letting go of an old paradigm and old ideas and things that are no longer sustainable. So a lot of things going on. It feels very uncomfortable, I'm sure, for some people, as they feel like their world might be crashing down around them, or doors are being closed, right? I always think of the eclipses as doors being closed, but then there's a window opening up over here, or another door that opens up. It's almost like the universe, being your friend, is pushing you in the correct direction by closing off the old way of being and the old way of doing things. So good. It's very good. It just, sometimes we experience it through our emotions as not feeling good, right? We may doubt ourselves, or we may feel pessimistic, or we may feel like we're being dumped on by the universe. I've felt this many times myself in my life, like, what am I, at the toilet of the universe? I mean, just flush it all through me. But in reality, if I stand back now and look, I can see what the point of it was. Sometimes when we're in it, we have tunnel vision and we can't really see what it is that it's bringing us to. So step back today, do a reality check, and just make sure that you are aligned with, if the words are coming out of your mouth that I'm a healer, but everything I'm doing over here is undermining my health, my own personal health, or my own healing business, then I need to go, wait a minute, I'm not in alignment. And if you're not in alignment, that's what the universe is showing you, right? Get back in alignment, right? If you want to be an artist, you have to create art. If you want to be a singer, you have to sing songs. If you're going to be an athletic coach, you have to do sports, or you have to do athletic things. It's aligning yourself with what it is that you're saying and what it is that you know you want to do, right? Okay. Lisa Kenny, good morning from Monterey, California. Lovely coastline. And Jacqueline Tyler, good morning. Linda, good morning. Natasha, good morning. And I think I caught everybody. If I didn't, I apologize. Just say good morning to everybody again. Lisa Kenny, rabbit hole or protection barrier? Ooh, universe trying to redirect maybe? Yes. Sarah says she has Pluto, 8th house in Scorpio. So ooh, you have a very highly activated, empowered Pluto. Pluto is one of the ruling planets for Scorpio, also then one of the ruling planets for the 8th house. So you have, he has a lot of power in your life. And that power is of transformation and the shattering of something and the rebuilding of something else. So that's a lot of going into the dark. You know, Sarah, I wonder, are you a shaman? Because that's like shaman energy right there, right? That's the jaguar in the Mayan way of being. That is the Native American wise man or wise woman or shaman who has magic, right? There's magic here, the magic of transformation, of alchemy, right? So you're an alchemist in some way. Interesting, interesting. Okay. So what is it that you're alchemizing then? Right? How do you, you know, in many shamanic disciplines, I've been on these things called shamanic journeys. And usually it begins with you getting into a meditative state and being taken into a hole in the earth, or the hole at the base of a tree, or a cave, or you're going somewhere deep and dark, sort of like a rabbit hole, right? And the reason you're doing that is, for one thing, you're protected there, right? You're back up against a tree trunk or a cave wall. It is dark in there. So your senses, you're kind of cut off from the senses. And from that position, then you tune in. You tune into the inner dynamic or to your higher self. And from there, you come back with jewels, treasures, ahas, revelations, ideas, opportunities, whatever it is the purpose is of going into the journey. So it's an interesting time for you, Sarah, and for a lot of us who are going through some of those things. But don't feel badly about it. It's serving you in some way, Right, it's serving you in some way. Today may be a critical day because of the way that things are configured in the skies. Really having you take a look at what are your goals? What have you been saying that you want to do, or that saying that you are, but where are you not in alignment with that? Now I'm going to take you one further step with this today because, I just follow my intuition in the morning as terms of, I'm looking at the charts telling me what the transits are. But sometimes something pops up into my field, and then when I realize it, I go, wow, okay, that is exactly what is happening here. And today it is all about the planet Ceres. She's actually a dwarf planet, go figure, but she still has a lot of power, increasing power now in our paradigm as the feminine energies are also rising, right? And Ceres, we've talked about many times. She's the goddess that whose daughter in Ceres is related to Proserpina, Proserpina, but it's also the Demeter and Persephone myth, right? It's they're diff one's Roman, one's Greek, and Ceres is Greek, and her daughter was stolen by Hades and taken into the underworld. He married her, and Ceres then was devastated. She caused the earth to go into darkness and refused to allow spring to come and new growth to plant. The gods got worried and they come down and they broker a deal between Ceres and Hades to allow her daughter to be 6 months of the year on the earth with her and then 6 months of the year in Hades with her husband, Pluto or Hades. And then the earth became fertile for 6 months of the year and then went into winter and fall, or fall and winter, the other 6 months of the year. So the myth holds some real, juicy energies there for us, or some, mythological connections to growth and death, birth and death and regeneration and all of that. But Ceres in your chart also represents the same kind of journey, right? The fertile and growing, and then the rebirthing, or the death and rebirthing energies. And she's been just at 0 degrees of Sagittarius now since I think February, maybe it was January. And so I haven't really paid much attention to the fact, I think I've mentioned her in this respect. But, Ceres, in one astrologer's, what was some page I was on, noted that this was also the depth of love that we carry within ourselves. Right, the depth of love within you. So wherever she is in your chart by birth is where you're really holding this well of love, like the love that Ceres had for her daughter that caused her to fall into sadness when her daughter was taken from her. So where's that depth of love within you? And then by transit, then we get to see another facet of the depth of that love within you. And in Sagittarius, it's about figuring out our spiritual path. Right. So I just find this interesting because you guys don't know this, but I get emails from people all the time, asking me questions, or, probing, answers to the questions for things that they're struggling with in their lives. And I noted this yesterday, that people that were reaching out to me were struggling with some kind of spiritual thing where they're looking for their path. Or they felt like they'd found their life purpose only to find out, or to feel like, no, that isn't it. And I'm on the wrong path. And I've spent all this time doing this and now it's wrong. And, or people who are experiencing a crisis of faith, right? Faith right now. It's really hard to have faith in the benevolence of a universe when the news out there is so bleak, right? And the things that we see that, we hold dear, Ceres holds dear the environment. And we see, at least in our country, the environment being abused in all kinds of ways. Laws that were put into effect to protect the environment, to protect our water, our air, our food. All things that Ceres is dearly and deeply engaged with being undermined and debased and removed so that people who are so inclined can go out there and devastate, right? Take advantage of, use and abuse the earth, the waters, the airs, etc. So for a lot of people, we've come to a point where we're in a crisis of faith. Like, fork in the road almost. Like, do I stay or do I go? Can is there anything worth being here for? If everything out there is crumbling, what is there for me to be here for? So, crisis of faith. And Ceres in Sagittarius, where she is now, begins our process of searching for knowledge, for wisdom, for adventure, even. And maybe just that little shift in looking at what's going on in the bigger, wider world versus and what's going on in your own personal life as your personal adventure shifts that feeling enough that you begin to be more, you can tap into optimism. You can tap into that faith. You can tap into the excitement of seeing, well, where is this leading us? And, really the only thing you can do is hold true to your values, right? To your what you believe in. And when you do that, then the world begins to change according to your perception. Your perception is what drives what you see in the world. Now, I'm not saying that our perception creates what's happening out there when people are sex trafficking kids, or when we're debasing the laws in place to protect the environment, et cetera. I'm not saying it creates that, but I am saying that when we live according to our values, then we tend to gravitate toward things that support our values. And that's where our power lies as individuals, right? We've said this before, where, put your money where your values are, right? Live and spend according to your values. If you value clean air and clean water, clean food, then do everything that you can to support that. Because you're not going to be able to change the laws. Personally, you really aren't able to change the laws. You can start to put pressure on your representatives in Congress or in your state or your city or community to, voicing your concerns and voicing your values. But literally, that bigger change is happening, outside of what you personally can affect. So all you can then really change comes right down to is yourself, your own perspective, and your own perception, right? So it's again all about that reality check that says, wait a minute, don't despair because of what you see in the outer world. Change what's going on in here, and the world you see will change in direct contrast to that what you're seeing right now. I hope that makes sense. It's a difficult concept, I think, sometimes to express, but it's exactly what happens here, right? It's here in the next several months, we have this opportunity to change our perspective, to seek and to live from higher wisdom, higher knowledge, more ancient knowledge, more ancient truths, and figuring out your spiritual path. What is your personal path to faith? And what does that mean for you? And how does that uplift you in all of your endeavors, right? If you have faith in yourself, you can move mountains, right? What is it in the Bible? If you had the faith of a mustard seed or something like that, you could move mountains. And I'm probably mixing metaphors there, but it's okay. You get my drift, right? There's a lot. You put out a little, and the results are huge, right? But you have to have faith. Natasha. My Leo husband almost quit his job yesterday as Mercury in retrograde is one of his harder times. He felt very much in the rabbit hole. I held my hand down the hole with a loving mirror for him to find his perspective on how to navigate out of the hole. I am very grateful for how he is walking in life. That's awesome. And yeah, a lot of people might be tempted to do a lot of things. So I think this is a time for restraint. Not out of fear necessarily, because of course that we know that that's a false evidence appearing real. But because when we're confused or when we're knee-jerking in reaction to something, we tend to make the wrong decisions, right? We're not seeing all the facts clearly with a cool head. We're seeing it rather through, in fact, right now we're seeing things through, and I was really surprised about this, seeing things through an Aries filter. Right, remember how I add up in my little grid here, I add up the number of signs in elements or the number of bodies in elements and then in their modes. And then I come to, wow, we have nine planets or points in fire, and we have 11 of them in cardinal or initiating energy. And when I looked at that, I went, damn, that's an Aries filter. And there's literally nothing except Chiron and Eris in Aries. And that's disturbing to me, right? To have two disruptive sort of bodies in the filter, in the sign that we're filtering with today. Discord through the goddess Eris, and wound through the, what is he, centaur, Chiron. So we need to really stop ourselves from reacting from those discordant energies or from the wound. And the way to do that is to breathe and hold until we see the path clearly. It doesn't mean you cannot take steps, but just make sure that they're not reactive steps, right? Because they have maybe profound impact on you. It's best to walk away for the moment, breathe in, breathe out, take a walk, dispel the energy yourself, come back clear before you do or say anything that you're going to regret later. So good for your husband there, Natasha. And he is a Leo. So remember, Mercury retrograde and Mars are in Leo in a conjunction still today. They're still, you know, even though Mercury's, you know, moving backwards now, he's separating, if you will, from Mars. They're still at the same degree, 4 degrees and some minutes, 4 degrees and some minutes, right? So they're still very close. And that means there's still that potential for things to go wrong if you react from ego or react from a hothead sort of place, as opposed to being cool, calm, collected, leaning into your more Saturnine energies, which are the energies of duty and responsibility and doing things the right way, being in integrity. So those are things that we can use to help us stay the course without reacting, even though we want to react and we want to yell and scream and throw things and quit our jobs or quit, you know, the groups we're part of or whatever. So we stay our course until we can see clearly or until we can breathe. I hope that helps. Now, today from the Pleiadian Earth energy is really, it's a great day. Today is the day 3 illuminating. So the universal energy of the day is 3. It's the energy of creation, creating. You know, with 1, you have initiating energy. With the 2, you see duality or 2 different options. With the 3, you have creation. Forgot to shut that phone off. And sorry, guys, it's just going to ring. So we have today creating energy. That's the universal energy. The earth energy is illuminating. And this is a day to have a lighter touch. Maybe view things through the filter of humor today, instead of being down, laugh at yourself or laugh at the situation, or, you know, just laugh, just choose to laugh and avoid drama. So stay out of the drama traumas and don't attach to the illusion that the truth is as you see it, right? The truth is as you create it, but not as you necessarily see it in this moment. So in Mayan, this was the energy of Xuan, which was the monkey. And the monkey is able to be flexible and climbs, gets a better perspective, can come back down, can throw you know what at you when you least expect it. If you've ever been to the zoo and watched monkeys, they can be lazy and they can just be laying around, and then they're up and at them. And so today's monkey energy, illuminating light energy, light maybe, you know, focused from the sun on Saturn, maybe issues of importance to you. But if you can hold to the lighter way of dealing with those energies, things may look completely different for you and feel much better. All right. And seriously, girls and boys, I am done. I've managed in 40 minutes today, 38 minutes, to transfer everything I needed to say to you. Anybody have any questions or anything they want me to look at or a card they wanted me to draw? I have a little more time here. I'm just scrolling back to see if there are comments I missed. You know what? Guilt is another one, Sarah, that comes up today in all of the feelings that, you know, I gave doubt, pessimism, lack of confidence, fearful of the future, blocked, let down, guilty. Right? The guilty verdict that we place upon ourselves when we see ourselves as less than, not good enough, not getting where we wanted to go, not being successful, not thriving, Right? So don't even go there. And by the way, let me remind you guys something I told you yesterday. The moon is transiting through all the gates of fear on the spleen from today through today and tomorrow. Today the moon is going to be at the gate 57. That's where it is right now. The gate 57 in a fear state would be the fear of the future. Right? I fear that, the world is going to be flushed down the toilet, right? Or whatever. But the future isn't here yet, and lots of things happen between now and the future. So that's where the moon is earlier in the day. Later in the day, the moon moves over to gate 32, which is the fear here of failure. Or I often think of this one and frame this one as for some people, it's the fear of success. That I think sometimes we fear success more than we fear failure. So you could sit with that with yourself and see how do you, if you try that one on, how does that feel? But later in the day today, that's what we're going to be contending with, the fear of success, or is it the fear of failure? And is it real? Right? Because remember, Saturn is sitting at gate 54 today, gate 54. It's been there. Also, the Earth is sitting there, and those are the gates of ambition and drive. Right, that is the where we start on the journey, the spiritual path. And when we start on that journey, the first place we come to is that gate 32, evaluating that path based on failure or success. And in truth, it can actually cause us to become sort of a workaholic in that we keep doing and doing and doing. So that we stave off the failure, or we may even be working and working and working and we are not necessarily becoming successful. So, lots to contend with when we think of the fears maybe being evoked by transits to those gates today. That whole channel will be defined later in the day, 54 and 32, which is the channel of transformation, the channel that transforms, right, your goals and your aspirations into success or failure. And if it's transformed into a failure, I would caution you to think of it more as a success because you're seeing a way that that path isn't going to work, right? Or what isn't sustainable in that pathway. And that gives you the option to move around it, go over it, go under it, to continue the transformation to that of success. All right. So let's see. I saw a flurry of stuff coming up. Good morning, Eliza. And Sarah says she has Ceres and Scorpio for her too. Wow, if you're not a shaman, you should be. Sarah, thank you so much for your advice. Okay. Natasha, I did that one. Diane Pegram, good morning. Vanita card, Debbie card. Donna James, hello, Donna. So I'm going to write names down. So I have Vanita, Deb. And Donna. And Jacqueline. Who wants an animal card? Okay. And I do have my cards here with me. And Angela, I will get to your question. She says, what do you think of Mars and Mercury on top of my natal Venus? 4 degrees Leo in the seventh house. What's going on in your marriage? What's going on in your relationship, your spouse? What's the nature of how is love showing up in your life right now? That's what I would say about that one, Angela. I would say a friend of mine once asked a very good question. And it was, she was talking to a group of women and she said, how do you want to be loved? And many of us end up in relationships, right? Relationships of all different types. And maybe where dissatisfaction lies is that we're not clear on how it is we want to be loved. What does that mean to you? And that may be what's coming up here for you is how do you want to be loved, right? Is it enough? Is it stupendous and wonderful and exciting? And or is there something that's not quite right, but you haven't been able to put your finger on it? And you can't blame the other person for any of this. This is about going into you and finding out what is it that I'm not feeling satisfied with in my relationship, or being grateful for how satisfied you feel in your relationship. I hope that helps. Kristen, good morning. And I will try. So let me start pulling cards because more people are pulling. Or Jacqueline, I don't know what's happening in your like six messages. I got the same message. Mercury retrograde, that little character. So I'm going to start with Vanita. Vanita, I'm guessing you want a wisdom of the oracle and card. So that is, how do you want to be loved? Exactly. How do you want to be loved? Because if you're not clear about how you want to be loved, then you may be seeing something missing in your love relationships. It's possible you're seeing how everything is wonderful in there, but it's worth checking out, right? Worth checking out so that it doesn't become a sore point with you in the relationship where you're projecting upon your loved one. This is for you, Vanita. It is upside down higher power. Card number four, 4 degrees Leo, higher power. And this is kind of an interesting card. So I'm going to see if I can get it clearer for you guys. Has a lot of bodies. You see, the fairy or goddess here. And then there's another face down here. And there's lots of stuff coming up out of her head. But the crown chakra wide open here. Or maybe that's a third eye. It's the third eye. Wow. Okay. So let's see what this higher power card number four means. It was in protection, Vanita. So we'll take a look at that. Okay. The card higher power, the essential meaning is conscious contact with a higher power, the presence of the divine, seeing source energy in all things, committing to a partnership with spirit. And in reverse or protection, it says, now is the time to examine what you are giving energy and attention to in the back of your mind. If you're obsessing about being right, about old resentments or failed expectations, about money or about any other people, places, or things, these will be the source from which you create. But you want spirit to be your source. Take heart, for your higher power will never desert you and is always waiting for you to remember the sacred partnership you share. I love that sacred partnership you share. Turn away from other sources of power that don't serve your highest good. There is no greater source than spirit. You can always surrender your troubles and trust that they will be taken care of. You are in good hands. I hope you like that one, Vanita. I love that one. Debbie. Card, please. Debbie, did you tell me which kind of card? I'm inclined to pull a Wisdom of the Oracle for you. Barring anything else, I don't see. Vanita wants to be loved by being included. I love that. What does that mean for you, Vanita? Right? What does that mean for you? Okay, so this is for Debbie, and I'm using the Woto, which I just love this deck. It seems so magical. Debbie, you have a card coming out upside down. It is by the book. Card. Oh, there's two here. So wait, I pulled them out this way. This one was upside down. So this one's right side up, message in a bottle. And by the book was upside down. So it is card number 11 and card number 15. So let's read by the book first, since that was the first one I saw. Debbie. 11. So, by the book's essential meaning means abiding by social rules, conformity, respecting cultural or family customs, universal laws, and in protection, it says. Now is the time for a real change in consciousness as you are incited to revolt. Challenge the structures that are limiting authentic progress. It is not enough to rebel in small ways. This is a call to revolution. Focus on what you really want to achieve, regardless of whether it feels so far outside the box that the established order may reject it. Genius, invention, and transformation are rarely comfortable and less likely to be accepted by the mainstream. It may be time for you to say no to the way of your group, take a stand, and make real changes. It could be that the structure of your inner world is alerting you to the need for a complete overhaul. This is a time for transformation, so let go of the fear of change. Your intuition will lead you through the darkness. There is no turning back now. Trust that light will dawn. Epiphanies will surely lead to miracles. Wow. I've never really seen this card upside down like that and heard someone like Colette Baron-Reed telling you to revolt, or a spirit telling you to revolt. Interesting, right? Now, message in the bottle was the other one, and it was right side up, card number 15, which smooths things, I bet, right? 15 is a six. That's bringing balance or harmony. So the second card for you, Debbie, message in a bottle, communication, a sign, a cleidon, which is the ancient name for a spontaneous oracle delivered innocently by the speaker, pointing the way to your highest good. And the message here says, spirit sends you signs when you ask for them, when you believe you will receive them, and when you allow yourself to become fluent in the language of symbols, oracles, and omens. They may come to you as a bird flying by, a logo on a truck, a song on the radio. Expect confirmation that you're pointed in the right direction. Keep your ears open for someone might just say the right thing that will give you the answer to your query. Today, your message is this. Spirit hears you and the reply is favorable. Wow, cool. All right, Debbie, that was for you. And so we've got Vanita, Debbie, Donna, James. And Donna, I'm not familiar with you, so welcome if this is your first time actually joining us in the morning. I'm going to use the spirit of the, or the wisdom of the oracle for you as well. And so this is for you, Donna. And let's just tap in to your higher self. I love it. You also received message in the bottle, but this was in reverse, right? So this is upside down in protection. I can't believe that one. Card 15. So let's reread the basic meaning. So 15, message in the bottle for you, Donna, says, essential meaning is the communication, a sign, or a cleidon, which is the ancient name for a spontaneous oracle delivered innocently by the speaker, pointing the way to your highest good. But message in a bottle for you was a little different in that it was in protection, which says, are you refusing to acknowledge the signs because you want things as you want them? Red flags are not pretty decorations for you to admire. They are warning you for a reason. If something doesn't sit right with you, trouble could be hiding in the bushes. Don't ignore the signs. Spirit always has your best interests at heart and will draw your attention to what you are overlooking. Wow, that seems pretty clear. Donna, that was for you. And next, Jacqueline wanted a spirit animal card. So Jacqueline, let's see what we pull out here for you. I love these cards. They're so beautiful, colorful. And they're usually pretty darn accurate as well. So for you, I get brown bear spirit. And I know, Jacqueline, you don't see well, and so you probably don't see this, but everyone here can see this is a beautiful turquoise colored card with a brown bear wearing some spiritual symbols on him. And the small message says, take time out. He was in upright mode. He is card number 9. And let's see what bear says. The oracle's message. There is a time to act and a time to focus your attention on patient strategizing. The arrival of brown bear spirit signals that you are best served by foregoing hard work toward your goals at this moment and instead taking the time out to meditate or just take a nap so you can refresh yourself and begin planning what you want to co-create next. Come to know the lay of the land as you contemplate and imagine what you might do in this vast space of possibility before you and begin forming a plan. Remember, sleep allows for dreaming and rest allows for clear-headed strategizing. How might you become the person you wish to be and experience whatever your heart desires? Insights will arise as you explore the possibilities and begin envisioning your plan. Knowing what you want will ensure you use your energy wisely in the days ahead. Be patient at this time. Relax and be calm and peaceful so you can recharge. The call for action will come later. Wow, that's a great card. I hope that makes sense for you, Miss Jacqueline. And let's see. I thought I saw someone else. Kristen. Okay, yeah, Kristen. What card do you want, Kristen? I'm tempted to draw you an animal card, so let's do that. And if you tell me you would have rather had the other one, I would be happy to draw a second one for you. But I'm right now, I'm going to draw an animal card for you. And this is for Kristen. So, Kristen. Kristen, you get rabbit. Rabbit spirit. Isn't she cute? It says, now is a lucky time. It was in protection, which does not mean you don't have luck. It just means we have to look a little differently for it. And it's card 49, which is a 13, which is a four. So let's take a look at rabbit. 49. Okay, so now is a lucky time. But in protection, it says, vulnerability is required of you now, even if you don't feel safe. Act as if you trust that you will be okay, and soon you will see that you are okay. To create is to take risks. So at this fortunate, fertile time, banish your fears and recognize the real security is in immersing yourself in the process of co-creation. It's okay to admit that you really don't know how to deal with whatever it is in front of you. This is where curiosity and not knowing can be a wonderful state of mind. Be playful now, admitting you are at the beginning of something. Come on out to frolic in the sun's nurturing light because it is time to birth something new. Lovely. I just want you to look at this card again. She's just the most beautiful little bunny. It's funny because one of our other listeners, Michelle Gay, was telling me yesterday that she kept seeing rabbits, rabbits, rabbits everywhere. Yesterday, where was I? And a rabbit caught crossed my path. Oh, I were taking care of a neighbor's cat, and I went over to the house to feed him. And in the house next door is where I used to live. And this rabbit just runs across the lawn, actually coming like towards me, but stopped when I pulled the car into the driveway and took off in another direction. So rabbits are everywhere, I guess, right now. Lovely. Okay, is there anybody else? Yes, with the faces, please. If there's time, can I have a card with the faces, please? I'm guessing maybe you mean this one, the Wisdom Keepers, Natasha? I just happen to have them sitting here, so let's do it. And don't use this one as an oracle very much. I like to pull her out and look at these cards when when we have a specific gate. Or gene key, because she, I think, prefers gene keys. So that's when I pulled this one out, but I'll take a look here. You got the card farsightedness. Farsightedness, which is the gene key 17, which in human design is called the gate of opinions. And in the gene keys is where we have the ability to become farsighted. We can see for a distance. So let's see what this one means. Remember, this one comes with a story and then a gift and then questions for contemplation. So the gift here is farsightedness, the shadow is opinion, and the Siddhi, the highest expression of the energy in this gene key, is omniscience. And it's story. My parents needed me to accomplish great things for the sake of our people. Even before school, I was quizzed and readied for an intellectual excellence. Fact gathering, test taking, and structured debating were praised, while irrational emotions were discouraged. My detail-prone eyes were trained to detect flaws. My critical, opinionated mind was honed on making comparisons, always pulling out the right fact to back up any theory. My intellect served me well as I became a good student, lawyer, then social critic. I did my research until I was certain about good, bad, right, and wrong. My opinions were always on the side of justice and became increasingly humanitarian. To everyone, I seemed unusually confident. But deep down, I was serious, self-critical, and took everything personally. I constantly compared myself to others, fearing they were more knowledgeable and accomplished. I had a deeply held opinion that without my achievements, I was unlovable. So I created an impenetrable shield and refused to use anything but logic to discuss anything, even in relational and emotional situations. Beneath my seemingly open-minded and progressive views, I was angry. I held on to my opinions like a fundamentalist. I lost friends over disagreements. But when I lost the love of my life over a stupid argument, I woke up. And from that moment on, my mind became the loyal, brilliant servant of my loving heart. I am here to remind you that nothing, no opinion, theory, dogma, or belief is more important than love. The only way to liberate yourself from the unhealthy grip of an opinionated life is to develop a sense of humor. True farsightedness requires that you don't take yourself too seriously or what anyone says too personally. Laugh more. It's not about shutting down your brilliant mind, ignoring the patterns that you see, or giving up on improving the world, but it is about being able and willing to see and feel every aspect of the whole simultaneously. Have all the opinions you want, but remember, you are not your opinions. You are so much more. You are a scientist of the heart, here to contribute your part to the future of humanity by seeing the small and the big picture all at once. Questions for contemplation. I'll post these, I'll email these to you. Or, well, maybe everybody wants to see them. But the questions are things like, where are you being too hard on yourself, and how can you be more gentle? Where do you actually have an opinion but are afraid of sharing it? Where in your life could you use a backbone? Where do you tend to be hard on others? Are your strong opinions getting in the way of your relationships? Do you ever get caught up in defending your opinions or trying to convert people to see things your way? Who is a person you admire for his or her farsightedness or capacity to see the big picture? What does omniscience mean to you? And find the opposite of a strong opinion of yours. Sincerely look for evidence to prove this contrasting viewpoint. Stay open to what you learn. Wow. That's a lot. That is a lot. So there you go, Miss Natasha. Good morning, Joanne. Good to see you. Ashley, I have a ton of rabbits and rabbit babies all over the hotel. Then yesterday, when I was walking the dogs, I saw a doe. She stayed for a while. Beautiful. I just love nature right now. You know, the deer are out, rabbits. There's also eagles and vultures, but you know that. They prey on those smaller animals. But it's been a really beautiful summer so far. Cool. I like that. I think that's it for me this morning. Natasha, if you want me to email you those questions for contemplation, I will. If anybody else would like them, then I'll actually post them. But somebody let me know if you're wanting me to do that, because otherwise I won't. I'll just send them to Natasha. In the meantime, everyone have a wonderful day. Remember, don't take yourself too seriously today, or don't take your feelings too seriously today, right? Don't get caught up or bogged down in feeling low. Just do a reality check. Check your goals. Check your ideas of where you want to go. Make sure that your plans are sound and are achievable. And if there are obstacles that show up, go around it, go over it, go under it, or stop. Evaluate what that obstacle is and whether it is that you need to move in a different direction. Okay. See you here tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Have a great day. Bye.